How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of Justin Fields, let's get into our QB1 segment. Okay, Dan, first category every week is the defining moment for Justin Fields. What was yours?
I mean, it's the obvious one. It's the breathtaking, magical playmaking artistry that Justin Fields shows in taking what looks like it's going to be a sack that's going to put the Bears in 3rd and 34 and sets them up with 1st and goal at the 9 and almost was a 48-yard touchdown run. When you can go in two breaths from facing 3rd and 34 on your side of midfield to being one play from scoring a touchdown from inside the 10 of the opponent, it's amazing. And that's just who Justin Fields has become. He's one of the most electric playmakers in this league right now. I think to my time on this beat, and I think of Khalil Mack and I think of Devin Hester as two guys that just change games with how electric they can be, that can in one moment can juice up an entire football team, in one moment can juice up an entire stadium, in one moment can flip something that looks like a disaster into a touchdown for your team. Right. And to have that ability, it's unbelievable. It wasn't only Fields having the strength and the agility to escape Hassan Reddick in the pocket. It's once he got out, it was almost like, Reddick gets his arm around him and Justin uses it as a slingshot. And then he shoots in the open field and he shows you his elusiveness and then he avoids a tackler. And then as impressive as anything was the spin move that didn't count after he stepped out of bounds, because he showed that determination that he wasn't going to stop short of the goal line no matter what. He had every opportunity on that run to step out of bounds and call it a day and just kept fighting and sniffing for that goal line. It's special stuff. And the fact that it's coming so regularly is worthy of celebration citywide.
It's you're right. And that you couldn't have been put it much better. It's like when you watch Mahomes do what he does and create opportunities with his mobility and then his accuracy. It's like what Justin Herbert does when you see him drop it back in the pass in the pocket and throw a ball where only he can with the arm strength and the accuracy. Joe Burrow is another guy that comes to mind. When you think of these guys and what they do is sort of their superpower, and they do draw you to the television screen and they're like, wow, I can't believe he did that. That's what Justin Fields is like when he's running the football. And that's not a knock at him throwing the football, but let's face it, when he's running the football, he does things that only few other guys can do ever. And so that is his superpower. That's what makes him special. So my defining moment is related to what you said, because he had a 39-yard run. He also hit the 1,000-yard threshold, so that makes him a 1,000-yard rusher. The defining moment for me came after the game, when at the podium, everyone talks about Justin Fields and the intangibles. And it's really hard to articulate and to repeat, and it sounds redundant, but Justin Fields was asked about being a 1,000-yard rusher and what that meant to him. And he said it was special, and he named all the right guys and the coaches and players and teammates. But the only thing that surprised me about how he took everything in stride with humility was that, Dan, when he talked about not wanting to be a 1,000-yard rusher again. I think that is very interesting, because number one, it's not like, okay, I just did this. Isn't this cool? Let's do it again. This is who I'm going to be. It was almost as if he already has processed the fact that that is cool. It's great. It's historic. And he may end up with the record by the time this season is over. But he's all right. Like, he's had the internal questions about whether that's sustainable or whether that's the best thing for the Bears long term. If he is a perennial 1,000-yard rusher, yeah, that may be okay, and maybe they can. But I think he's already thinking ahead and wondering about the wisdom of it because of the exposure to injury, because of what it means. Can you do this? And I just thought that was a presence of mind that really does define him as a leader.
Well, I think he also understands what playing quarterback is about, and particularly what playing quarterback in this league is all about. And he understands the need for growth in other areas, both from himself and the unit, the offense as a whole, that will help unlock him as a passer. Justin has been very clear for a matter of weeks now that this wasn't his forte at any point in his life, really, before the season, which is kind of crazy. You go back through his college game logs. I think he had 200-yard rushing games in college, one at Georgia as a freshman and one at Ohio State. And so it's not like he was Lamar Jackson at Louisville running around every week and making all these running plays. He was a pocket passer who did what he needed to do in the running game and gave that Buckeyes team what he needed in that that dimension. But this is a whole different level in 2022. And he understands that that's not who he's been and it's not who he's going to be. And so that maturity is really good. At the same time, David, I thought it was really interesting that he knew he was 206 yards away from the all-time record for quarterback rushing, which is Lamar Jackson. We'll get into that in a little bit. And said, hey, there's three games left. Why not go after it? So for three more weeks, he's going to have his running shoes on as much as he can.
I love that he already did the math. He said, oh, it's about 70 yards a game, and he's about right. And if he gets that, he'll break the record. All right, how about on the bright side, the next category?
Yeah, so I'm just going to go to both of the touchdown passes because they highlight two different things for Justin Fields that are notable for me. The first one to David Montgomery, they use a quick cadence, the Bears do, and explain this after the game, that it's just something where they can get up to the line, use a quick cadence, and not allow the defense to see what they're doing and react. And so Justin gets up there to use the quick cadence, but he also recognizes that Philly's going to be in a zero blitz, and they're bringing the house against him. And in order to beat that, you've got to be quick, decisive, and know where your read is. And he goes right to Montgomery with a very simple pass, right? I think it's maybe 2 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, and it goes to the end zone. And that's the type of play that Matt Eberflus has been talking about. Last week, he told us, we've seen how dynamic Justin can be, aforementioned in that run that we just talked about for 5 minutes. We want to see him make some of the ordinary plays more consistently. That's one of those ordinary plays. It's not anything that's crazy difficult. It's not anything that's going to show up on your Twitter feed, but it is something that shows a quarterback's aptitude. It shows a quarterback's ability to respond, a quarterback's ability to make a quick and decisive decision. So that's a beautiful pass. And then you get the touchdown pass to Pringle late in the game, and you recognize that this is entirely a byproduct of how scared opposing defenses are of Justin beating them with his legs. And so he gets out of the pocket there, and it's an off-script play, and now all of a sudden you've got a bunch of guys in the secondary coming to charge up because they don't want to be embarrassed and put on another highlight reel loop. And the next thing you know, you've got a receiver standing at the 2-yard line with no defender within 2 zip codes of them. And it's the easiest touchdown pass you've got. Pringle said after the game, I had to concentrate extra hard because I was so wide open. It goes for a touchdown, but it's a touchdown because of what Justin does with his legs that scares the hell out of opposing defenses.
Those are the easiest yards after a catch Byron Pringle has ever had, because he basically waltzed into the end zone, didn't go very fast, and it was just a matter of he don't drop it because it was right there. I'm going to stick with that play for my on the bright side, because I do think that for the second game in a row is very similar to me. I know different circumstances and different receivers, but when Justin Fields scrambles now, you don't worry so much about him keeping his eyes down the field. He has done that better, and he has, whether that's a point of emphasis or a coaching. You know, you talk about coaching, and that's evidence of coaching. Justin Fields scrambles and he's keep looking for that player to break open, and receivers now are used to that. Good things happen, and he was able to make a play because of that. Where I think 10 weeks ago, I wonder if that would have been the case, and certainly last year, I doubt it. So he scrambled, bought himself some time, looked downfield, then put the ball where it needed to be, and Pringle did the rest.
Two plays before that magical run that we talked about, he hit a climb the pocket, slide out to the right, and just drop a little dump off to David Montgomery. It goes for 21 yards. Prime example of what you're talking about there, of having the eyes up and not activating the legs before you need to. And you get experience, when you see success doing that, you compile these plays where it's like, oh, this is pretty easy. I just dropped this off to David. He'll get us 21. We'll get a new set of downs. We'll move the chains and we'll see what we can do. This is all stuff that is, you know, we asked in September and early October to see market progress out of this young quarterback. He's shown us market progress for the last 2 months. And it gives, again, we talked about it. It opens up the box to dream. And that's what I think Chicago is doing right now. Now, there's another box sitting in the corner that says, here's your Santa scroll worth of needs for 2023. Get some of these addressed. But again, Fields is answering the bell every single week.
There still are always going to be some uh-oh moments. What was yours yesterday?
It's the fourth quarter. You're down by 4 points. You're deep in your own territory, and you've got a third down play coming up. And your quarterback gets up after a run, and he's stuck on the field. And he's stuck on the field with what looked like a leg injury and turned out to be cramping. And he's got to leave the field. He's got to go to the tunnel. And it leaves you in a 4-point game in the fourth quarter at home against a really good opponent to have Nathan Peterman throw a pass to Simba Webster on 3rd and 13. It goes incomplete. You punt. And while your quarterback goes and gets his IV treatment and comes back to throw a touchdown to Byron Pringle on the next series, in between there, you had a punt. You gave the Eagles the football. They marched for a touchdown and put the game out of reach. again, we talked about this on our post-game podcast on Sunday evening. At some point, these games and the results of these games are going to matter more to a lot more people, and the stakes are going to be more meaningful, and your quarterback cannot be dealing with consistent issues with cramping. Justin says he's got to get an IV bag before every game. Somebody in this organization has to make sure he gets that IV bag before every game. Somebody's probably got to shove four bananas in his locker at halftime, right? Like, let's exhaust every option to make sure that he doesn't need cramping treatment down the late stages of close games.
Let's do better. Okay, I know he has great agents. I know they look out for his best interests, but Chiquita banana, okay? Justin Fields is waiting for you. Whatever banana, organic bananas, whoever the case may be, there is a pitch man, there is an endorser waiting for you because he needs the potassium, Chicago. Let's do the guy a solid and let's give him a banana to endorse.
One less vegan donut at Dunkin', you know, one less burrito at Chipotle, and something that gets the electrolytes up and the cramping to stop, because again, like, hopefully this is a two game thing and we never talk about it again. You know, hopefully they get it solved right away. But the next time he cramps is a third time, and strike three, you're out, and somebody's got to pay for that. I didn't love that, because it was, again, it was a critical moment of a close game. And, you know, again, Matt Eberflus was asked him about it on Monday afternoon. He said, yeah, that was a little stressful. You know, it was the understatement of the year, having to throw Nathan Peterman out there against the Eagles to throw a pass to Simba Webster.
It's not August. It's a one score game, a third and long, and you have Nathan Peterman thrown to Nasimba Webster. That is a preseason connection in primetime action. That's what you don't want. That's a good one. I have two moments, and it's not. We've praised him a lot, but there's just two little things. If I'm reviewing the tape or watching it again, as I began to do before this podcast, those lateral passes at the line of scrimmage I referenced after the game, I don't know what it is, but it almost like he hesitates and it's already in his head because he's got to throw lateral and he's not throwing down the field. And I don't know. It's like a great 3-point shooter that can't hit a free throw, or who's a 60% free throw shooter, but boy, you know, he can really nail the three. I don't know if it's too orchestrated or too safe of a pass, but he struggles still with these sidearm lateral passes that are bubble screens. I don't know why, but every time he does that, I think, because it's going to be more difficult to complete than it needs to be.
Wednesday of this week, we will get both Luke Getsy and quarterbacks coach Andrew Dinoco. It's on my question list because we should get some sort of detailed explanation from these guys who work with him every day to figure out what's going wrong and what the troubleshooting method is. And we'll try to bring some answers and clarity to that, because it's become an every week thing. And that's where it comes worthy.
So the second one is a little bit more defined or specific. So it's 3rd and 16 at the Eagles 20. And this is before the I can't make it from 30 yard, the 30-yard line decision by Cairo Santos, which talked Matt Eberflus out of trying a field goal and trusting his kicker. I'll get to that in a moment. But so it's 3rd and 16 at the 20. Justin Fields takes a 10-yard loss on third down. Now, Hassan Reddick is running him down, and this is a guy that has bad intentions. I get it. This is a very accomplished pass rusher. It's easy to say, throw the ball away. But I think if you're coaching him, you've got to say, throw the ball away. They lost 10. They took themselves out of field goal range. Only for the first time in 3 years, the Bears decide to punt at the 30-yard line. Goodness sakes, was that a decision? But they were put in that spot because I think Justin Fields needs to get rid of the ball, even though they have someone coming down at him. You have to maybe – it's easy to say anticipate it better, but that was the one where I went a little bit. Oh, it went through my mind. Uh-oh, he should have probably thrown that away.
There's an expert level of situational awareness there as well, because at some point your quarterback's also got to understand what scoring range is on a given day and make sure that whatever you do, you don't – retreat out of scoring range. I obviously got fired up after the game on Sunday talking about a team that, got to the 14-yard line and punted. I got more fired up rewatching it on Monday, just thinking like, how does that happen? How are you inside the red zone and end that drive with a punt? That's definitely notable.
As I said this morning on Monday morning on the radio, it's like in Hoosiers when they asked Jimmy Chitwood during that timeout, okay, and Jimmy says, I'll make it. It's like Cairo Santos. They say, what do you think? He'll say, I can't make it. Who does that? Who does that?
And you know, Brad Biggs got into it in his 10 thoughts with Cairo changing where he's kicking his extra points from. Now he's been on the right hash all year, and now he's moving to the middle, and there's something visually that's messing with his head. And, you know, I talked about it on 670 The Score on Monday afternoon. It's like tinkering with your golf swing. And if you keep messing around with things, you just introduce things in your head that are not supposed to be there. And the more things you have in your head, the less confident and sure you are that you can get it done. Cairo's got to get that cleaned up. He really has to finish the season on a stretch here where there's three really good games so that they don't have to go into 2023 with him on the Santa scroll.
Last category for QB1, the big number. What's yours?
207. It's the number of rushing yards Justin has left to surpass Lamar Jackson as the NFL's single season all-time leading rusher. I thought it was notable that he passed Bobby Douglas in game 14 for the Bears, because that's how many Bobby Douglas did it in 50 years ago. It's like Robert Quinn last year breaking Richard Dent's sack record in game 16 instead of game 17. It gives it a little bit more credibility. You know, now Justin's on an even playing field with Bobby Douglas. He's got an extra game to go past what Lamar Jackson did in 2019. But it's right there, right? You need to average 70 a game, basically, to get there. And he's been over 70 pretty much every week for the last 6 or 7 weeks. Not something they're going to go out of their way to make happen. But I would bet you that if he's on the doorstep in week 18 in Minnesota, there's going to be a few extra chances for Justin to go ahead and get that record to put the punctuation on the season. It'll be special punctuation on a special year that we'll be talking about here for a long time. Ultimately, you would hope one of these special individual performances is accompanied by success that makes it feel better. But for right now, we don't have that to work with, so we'll work with what we've got.
My number would be 119.5. Typically, I'm not a big passer rating guy, but I do think this week it reflects exactly what went on, and that is the passer rating takes into account how much and how well you protect the football. And Justin Fields protected the football against the league's most aggressive defense in terms of taking it away. And when you play the Philadelphia Eagles and you know that you're going to be in for a long day, he was sacked 6 times and yet did not throw an interception, knowing that pressure was coming. And I think that shows some growth as well, because those errant throws were avoided somehow. And that number reflects that, because if you protect the football, those numbers will stay high. You know, the passing numbers aren't what you wanted to be. 152. He was 14 to 21, efficient enough and accurate, 2 touchdowns. But really the big number to me was the lack of interceptions against a defense that is not afraid to jump routes and is going to collapse the pocket and make you throw it where you don't want to. And he avoided those kind of mistakes. And I think that was significant.
Did not appear frantic at any point during the game Sunday, and that's the biggest victory of any victory that the Bears could have taken out of that, because it's just a sign that he's comfortable now. And I've said this in the last couple of weeks, that when you get that calm and comfort that Justin's talked about here over the last month, that puts you on an escalator toward command. And once you get quarterback command, you're on a new floor as an NFL quarterback, and it's a nice thing to be on that escalator and to try to get there. So we'll see where they take this.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.